Okay, so in the next month or so, from here until the mission, has a lot of small issues. And then one issue, which is a huge shots issue, but happens to appear four or five times in Maseches Beitzah alone, which is the issue of Harama. So, as I said in the email, I'm bracketing out Harama. We're going to skip it, because, and we'll do it as the next year, because the two of the main sugyas are the end of Yud Zayin Amud Beis and the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, two different sugyas that we are the opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of Harama, so we'll hold that. But there's a lot of small issues that we can go through, I hope, pretty fast, either in 1 or 2 weeks, and then move to Harama, and then start the next mission.
Are you expecting the same time to read that thesis that you told us about?
No, I cut out some of the interesting points from it. It's a nice one. We'll see. It's English. It was at Columbia. Or NYU.
Online?
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
Oh, please.
Yeah,
I'll
send it all when we do it. It's not like the footnotes start at the bibliography starts at page 287. That's really not so bad for a dissertation.
My dissertation was 60 pages.
Yeah, so we used to compare different professors in YU. There was one who wrote 729 pages on the verbs associated with cutting tools in Akkadian. I was like, kill me. What? No, I looked at I just looked at the summary, you know. That and like one of the professors wrote a book on the letter Shin and two volumes on Sadi or the other way around. Whatever. Okay, so the Gemara, maybe a fifth from the bottom on Yuzayim Amud Aleph. I'm going to read basically an Amud here of Gemara, but it's pretty straightforward as things go. So the Gemara says as follows. Let's say, right, we've talked a lot about Erev Tavshilin. Let's say someone didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Who nasar v'kimcho nasar? O dilma, who nasar v'ein kimcho nasar? So, he isn't allowed to cook. That we know. But, is it only he's prohibited to cook, but his flour, I mean, the food that he owns, do they also become asar? Now, no one can cook that food for him. Or do we say, hu nasar v'ein kimcho nasar, that he can't cook, but there's no prohibition for people to cook from his ingredients. And that's the way Rashi understands the words that we just read, right? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, hu nasar lefos v'kimcho nasar, shlo yacherim ofin kimcho be'odo shelo, right? Is it just that he can't bake, and others can't bake his food as long as he owns it? And the Gemara then continues. We skip back to the Gemara. So, I amard hu ne'asar v'kimcho ne'asar. If you say that he is prohibited to cook and his ingredients are also asur, so tzarech le'aknuye kimcho la'achirim. So, in order to permit it, he has to bequeath, he has to sell, he has to give as a gift his flour, his ingredients, to other people, and then they can cook it, and if they want, give it to him. V'i amart hun esar ve'en kimcho nesar, but if you say that only he can cook, but his ingredients remain mutter, so lo tzarech la'knui kimcho la'chir, and he doesn't have to, and Rashi says, la'knui kimcho, im tzarech la'zit mimatana es kimcho shu'achir mutaram la'fosu ve'la'zit eslo, does he have to give it as a gift to others so that they would be allowed to cook for him? Now Tosos has the opposite in the Gemara here. Let's get to the Shema Minah, and then we'll look at Tosos. And the Gemara says Tashmai tries to prove it. Mishalo aniach eruv tavshilin arezi lo yofe velo yavasha velo yatmin lo lo velo lachirim. Someone didn't set an eruv tavshilin, so he can't cook, can't bake, and he can't insulate food, not for him, not for others. And others can't do it for him. So Kate said, so what does he have to do? He has to bequeath it to other people, and then they can bake for him, and they can cook for him. So the Gemara concludes that he, not only is he prohibited, but as long as the flour, as long as his ingredients belong to him, others can't cook it for him. And that's the Gemara's conclusion as Rashi understands it. Tosos has a different gears than the Gemara, and he says like this: I amar hu nesar v'kimcho nesar tzarech le'aknuye kimcho la'achirem vi amar ein kimcho nesar ein tzarech la'aknuye kimcho. So Tema, he says, I don't understand. How will v'kimcho nesar if his flour is osir. He said the words, when you say his flour is osir, so Rashi takes that to mean that his flour is osir as long as he owns it. But what do the words literally mean? Kimcho nesar, his flour has become osir. So if you think his flour is osir, ma mo'il akniya la'achirim, then what does it help that he gave it to others? Mi yachal l'salik ha'itzer shebo kadei sheyochal hu atzmo achar kach? Will it help that he gives it to somebody else to remove the iser so that he'll be able to eat it? Va'od kasha, furthermore, kevan shehu nesar, since he is prohibited to cook, me'ezetam ye mutar sha'achirim oven bishvilo, why would other people be allowed to cook for him? V'chi achirim yicholon lasos bishvilo mashu atzmon eino yochol lasos bishvil atzmo. Could you even imagine, right, that someone would be able to do for him what he can't do for himself? De halachos gidolos, who reads it like this, that e amard hunesar ve'ein kimchonesar, the words hunesar ve'ein kimchonesar doesn't mean that people can cook it as long as he owns it. It means that motzi laknui kimchol acherim. It means what Rashi thought hunesar v'kimchonesar. Tosfos thinks is hunesar v'ein kimchonesar v'az mo'il hakinyan, and then it will work to give it to other people. V'yamart hunesar v'kimchonesar. But if you think that he's asur and his flower is asur, lo motzi laknui kimchol acherim, he has no solution whatsoever. And even if he gave it to others, the iser would remain. The lo mo'il hakinyan uv'samoch garish mamina hunesar v'ein kimchonesar. And then the conclusion would be that he's prohibited and the flour is not prohibited, right? So just in terms of reading the Gemara, right? So we have Rashi who thinks the two possibilities were either hu nesar ve'ein kimcho nesar, which means people could cook his food while he still owns it, which would tell you that without an Erev Tavshilin, all that exists is an iser to cook, but not an iser on the food. Hunesar v'kimcho nesar means that it's prohibited as long as he owns it. But once he gives it to other people, so then it's fine. And Rashi concludes that that is the halacha. Tosfos says the suffik was not like that. The more makil position was that he would be able to give it to other people, and then they could cook for him. The more machmir position would be that even if he gave it to others, the fact that he owned the food when Yom Tov came in and he didn't set up an Erev Tavshilin created an iser that it can't be cooked from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Now, lehalacha, though, Rashi and Tosos both agree because they have the same brisa at the end. So the only question is, right, is the Gemara concluding the more machmir direction, the more makel direction? But the conclusion, lehalacha, will be identical. That both Rashi and Tosos think, however you phrase it, they think the conclusion is that you can't cook it as long as it belongs to the person, but you can as long as you give it over to the other person. Yeah.
So if you go by that he's usher and his kifaso is usher, then according to Tosfos, there's nothing you can do.
Correct. The difference, according to Tosfos, is what was the the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos is what was the suffix of the Gemara, right? Meaning, according to Rashi, the two possibilities were either, now if we flesh it out a little bit conceptually, according to Rashi, the two possibilities were either that without an Erev Tavshilin, the only thing that exists is an iser for the person to cook, but the flour is not usser, or do you say that the flour is usser as long as it's in his possession, but there was never a havamina that an iser inheres into the actual food. It's just that as long as it's under his auspices, he couldn't. No one could cook it because, I don't know, they're his shliach or something like that. Tosfos thinks, right, what Rashi thinks the most machmir position was is the most makil position. And the possibility which we reject is that an actual iser inheres into the object, and therefore, even if you gave it to somebody else, it would still be usher to use that food for Shabbos. But limaskana, both Rashi and Tosfos have this final brisa as the proof, which says that it works to give it to other people. So Rashi calls that hunesar v'kimchonesar, and Tosfos calls that hunesar v'einkimchonesar. But lahalacha, it's the same thing.
But you have the next line after that says,
right, so but that's what Tosfos says. He has the opposite girsa, Shmamina Hunesar v'ein Kimchonesar. Meaning, their girsas flip. Meaning, Limaskana, they both agree, however you refer to it, that he can, that others can cook for him if he gives it to them, if he actually gives it to them. The only question is how the what the words mean.
So Tosfos actually think that there could be a possibility that he wouldn't be able to.
Correct, that an Isser would adhere into the food, and if he wanted
and
to eat,
others couldn't cook for him either.
They could cook their own food,
right? But
rather than give him a gift, but
eat.
Correct. They no, he could eat from their food, but he couldn't eat from food from his house that they cooked for him.
So, in other words,
that I mean, according to everybody,
people, yeah,
right. Well, we'll see if that's
well,
true.
Right.
But according to both Rashi and Tosfos, no one ever thought. Right, I could just, right, if I didn't make an Eretz Yisrael, and Howie could just invite me over, and I could eat from his food. No one thought that was usher, yet. The only question was, could someone else take the ingredients from my house and cook for me?
But Tosfos is saying, so he's talking about his
correct,
his
correct, kind of? I mean, from his food, right, meaning they can cook in their house, and, you know, he can come. That may not be true, as we saw, and we'll go back to that. That Balamor didn't think that was true. If you remember from a blot ago, right? That we punish him and we'll come. But neither Rashi or Tosfos take that position. The only question, according to Rashi and Tosfos, is doesn't right? There are three possibilities in play, right? There's only an Isser on the Gavra to cook, which Rashi thinks is what Huneser the Ein Kim Choneser means. That possibility, according to Tosfos, never existed in the Gemara. Then there's the other extreme, which is Tosfos, that an actual Isser is created and his ingredients become Usser, which Tosfos thinks is a possibility in the Gemara, which Rashi thought never existed. Both of those possibilities are rejected in favor of the middle position, which Rashi calls Hu Nesar V'Ein Kim Choneser. Tosfos calls Hu Nesar V'Kim Choneser.
No.
Other way around. Rashi calls Hu Nesar V'Kim Choneser, and Tosfos calls Hu Nesar V'Ein Kim Choneser, but it comes to the same thing. That the maskan, according to both Rashi and Tosfos, is that the maskan of the Gemara is that he can give it to other people, and they can cook his ingredients for him after they've bequeathed it to him. That's the maskan according to both of them. They just argue what the words mean. Right? Right, and Rashi, but Tosfos is the opposite Gerza. Right, the last line in Tosfos. Yeah, that's what he quotes from Malachus Golos, that he has a different Gerza. Oh, I should mention just at this point, right, we said that tonight is dedicated to Lili Nishmas, Alan's mother, the name was?
Sarah Bas Chaim.
Whose Yahrzeit is tonight. Okay. Yeah.
Kenyan on Yontif, like what does it mean?
So, and we're going to come to that, right? So now, we'll come to the Kenyan question in 1 second.
Okay.
Right, so we'll come to that in 1 second.
You brought the Boma Or. Okay, is our case here Poshea, or is the case where the rabbi did not make an Eretz Yisrael?
Or he didn't rely on it. It would be one of those cases, correct. And we'll see. I put the shittos that bring up the Balamor, right? Okay. But remember, so in Rashi and Tosfos, that possibly doesn't exist, that he isn't allowed to eat on Yom Tov. That hasn't come up yet. That will be the Balamor, essentially. Okay. Now, La Halacha, so Rashi and Tosfos agree, right? That whatever they call it, he can't cook, but others, once he gives people his food, they could, in theory, cook for him. So is there any nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos La Halacha? Maybe. The Karban Nisanel, if you look in 2, notes that there's one possible nafkamina. The Tur quotes the following position in the Bala Itur. Ubala Itur kostav mistabra achirim shalonichu eruv ofenum avashlen lemisha henicho deshlucho shalom kamboso. The Bala Itur says something extremely surprising, which is, so far we've had the possibility that with Aaron Eruv Tavshilin, either it creates a prohibition for you to cook, or it creates a prohibition for food to be cooked as long as it's in your possession, or it creates an isser on anything that you owned before Yom Tov, right? It actually creates an isser inherent in the food. The Balamor, the Bala Itur rather, takes the opposite extreme and says, let's say I don't make an Eruv Tavshilin and Gerard does. Can I go to Gerard's house and cook his food for him? Right? The flip side. Is it possible that Eruv Tavshilin only forbids food for me, but does not create an Isser Gavra, right? And I could cook as long as I'm not partaking of the food, right? The flip.
Even your own food?
You
could cook for others?
Or maybe even that. Not clear from the Bala Itur. So Bala Itur, Paskins, yes, right? So far we've seen three possibilities, right? That without an Eruv Tavshilin, there's an Isser Gavra. that there's an Isser Gavra and anything in my possession is Usser, or that me not making Neftar Shilin makes all my food Usser to be cooked on Yom Tov. The Baal Iter raises a fourth possibility that no, without an Erev Tavshilin, I'm only not allowed to cook for myself, but I have no Isser to cook as long as for somebody who made an Erev Tavshilin. And that's what the Baal Iter says, Mistav Rachem Shal Nichler, Erev Ofen Mavash Lamisha Nichol, the Shlucho Shal Adam Kamoso, because I'm basically not cooking, right? I'm cooking for Gerard. I'm not cooking for myself, so I won't eat over there. I'll go back to my house. Basically, look, I was going to cook for Shabbos, but now I'm not allowed to cook for Shabbos, so I'm going to go help Gerard. Okay, so I'll eat cold food on Shabbos at my house, right? But I'll cook for him because, right, there's no Isser Gavra. That's the Baal Iter's position. The Torah says, Veloni Hira. That doesn't make any sense. But then he proves it textual, and he says, Debehedya Garsinan Eina Ofe La'Acherim. Because the Brisa, that the Gemara quotes, actually says, Eina Ofe La'Acherim. You can't cook for others. Which means, at the very least, the Gemara thinks there's an Isser Gavra. There may also be an Isser Chefza. There may be an Isser on the food as well, but there's at least an Isser Gavra. At the very least. The Karban Nisanel says, well, wait a second. A potential nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos would be this, because Tosfos, if you look back at Tosfos' Girsa, doesn't have the words, right? Part of his Girsa change that leads to his whole cheshbon lacks the words, Eino Ofel Acherim. So the Karban Nisanel says, look, I don't think there's a nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos. The only one I can think of is this, is if you think the only reason I know that the Baal Iter is wrong is because the Gemara says so, according to Tosfos, he doesn't have that Girsa because his Cheshbon removes that Girsa. The Karban Nisanel himself notes, that doesn't mean that Tosfos would argue, right, with the would agree with the Baal Iter. It might just mean that he doesn't have an explicit Gemara that says it wrong, but he could also argue Misvara, because the Baal Iter, right, is extreme here, right? This is the least likely of all possibilities, right? The other three possibilities all make far more sense, right? That there's an Isser Gavra, there's an Isser Gavra and anything in my possession, or there's an Isser Chefza on any food I owned. The possibility that there's no Isser Gavra, but there is an Isser Chefza, right? That I can't cook my food, but I can cook for others, or whatever.
It's still an Isser Gavra on the Achila.
Right, I reformulate it. That there's an Isser for food to be cooked for me, but not for me to cook. And that's the least likely Svara in the Sugya. But that's the Baal Iter's position. So the Karban Nisanel says, it could be this would be a nafkamina. There's no reason to believe Tosfos does agree with the Baal Iter. It's just that he happens not to have a Gemara against him. So that could be. But the simplest understanding is there is no nafkamina in Rashi and Tosfos, except for what they thought were the conceptual possibilities in the Gemara. But the Maskana is that middle position according to both Rashi and Tosfos. Okay. So that is that. Now, the next question, though, to ask on it is, okay, well, what is the basis of this machlokas? Right? Why would you say hun esar ve kimchon esar? Why would you say hun esar ve ein kimchon esar? What is the machlokas about in the nature of Erev Tavshilin such that you would say it? So what do you think, right? Why would you say any of these positions? Right? Why would you say that hun esar v'kemcha? Well, okay, we can't do this because Rashi and Tosfos. Why would you say that there's only an Isser Gavra that you can't cook? And why would you say that not only can you not cook, but the food can't be cooked? Or, you know, Tosfos' position, right? That the food has an inherent Isser, right? Why would you take these different positions?
I mean, no matter what, it's a kness. So it's just a question of what type of kness you're giving.
Right. So one possibility is it's just a kness. And that's it. And the question is, how egregious is it? And that may be the truth. But it's also possible, yeah?
No, but you're going back to the initial premise that there's an issue of preparation. So you need an exemption to get around the preparation. The exemption is the Erev Tavshilin. So then the question is, though, does the exemption apply just to the person, or does the exemption apply to the food that you're going to be making? That's how I
right.
get to
it. Right.
It starts with the Isser. I mean, like as Alan said, I mean, you're not allowed to do that malacha, right?
Right.
And who's that Isser on? It's on
or
the Gavra.
Right.
What's the
answer exactly.
to the exemption?
Right. And now the Achronim really go in this direction. They push it in a little bit differently, but they say, right, that question, if you remember that question, do we start with the Isser, do we start with the Heter, right, was a machlokas at the beginning of the Gemara, but the Gemara phrased it differently. The Isser was, right, is the Isser Mishum Kavod Yontif or Mishum Kavod Shabbos, right? That was how the Gemara phrased it, right? I mean, if it's L'Kavod Shabbos, the Heter is what the Erev Tavshilin creates the Isser, meaning there's no Isser to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but we want you to remember Shabbos, so we create an Isser that you then lift with an Erev Tavshilin, right? If it's L'Kavod Yom Tov, right, you start with the Isser, right, and then, right, because really you shouldn't be cooking from Yom Tov to anything, but if you bring an Erev Tavshilin and you symbolically mix your cooking of Yom Tov with Shabbos, so then we can waive the Isser, but we start with the Isser rather than we start with the, right, with the Chiyuv of the Erev Tavshilin. And that's what the Achronim says. You look in 3, for example, it says like this, B'shut ben Yehuda la'gon Rav Avram Lich Rosenbaum Zatzal Hiksha Shoel Heyach Hochiach Agamar Mibraiz the Amram Mishalo Erev Ketzer Osa Machman Kimchol Ocher and the Mashakotzev Huneser V'kimchon Neser Dima Braiz Kechananya. So he gets to this from a different point, because as we'll see, there's a position later on of Chananya, and Chananya in general has a lot of Chumros in Erev Tavshilin. So he gets to this by saying, how do you know that this Brisa proves that this is the halacha? Maybe that's only the position of Chananya. We'll come to Chananya in a minute. Fine. But he says as follows, how do I know? We have to read Chananya first? No, I don't think we do. Okay. So the cause of Meshiv Dvarim Shom L'Yashiv. Dihine Bereish Perek Sheni Pligi Rava Ravashi B'Taima D'Tiknu Chachamim Lasu Zerif Tavshilin. The beginning of the Perek, we saw the Machlokas. What is the purpose of Zerif Tavshilin? Rava Amar Kadesh Yiv Ramon Al Yafeh. V'Ravashi Amar Kadesh Yom Rom Yom Tov L'Shabbos Ein Mevashan Mekol Shekein Yom Tov L'Chol. So Ravashi had said, Rava had said rather, we do it so that you'll set aside something good for Yom Tov and for Shabbos. And Rav Ashi says, to tell you that you can't cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, Kal v'chomer Yom Tov to Chol. V'tana ma'isi me'asher tofu afu. And where did they prove this? Right? What asmachta did Rav Ashi base it on? That the Isser is because we don't want people to think you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Me'asher tofu afu. From that which should be baked shall be baked. Well, what does that mean? Right? If the drasha is that the Isser of Erev Tavshilin derives from the fact that you're supposed to cook everything for Yom Tov in advance, and, right, I'm sorry, everything for Shabbos and Yom Tov in advance of Shabbos and Yom Tov, but you can't cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, so the focus is clearly on the food, right? There was an Isser to cook from Yom Tov to anything else, right? And we enhance, really, we could waive it for Shabbos, but we enhance the Isser for Shabbos to emphasize that you can't cook on Yom Tov, but the emphasis was on the food. So he says like this, V'hine, Beishamai sneezes into Srila, Tzarech la'arev v'yistavshil. And we'll see in a minute that Beishamai thinks you need two foods. He says, why would you need two foods? Well, he says, Imkain list lutaim ed Ravashi, right? If you need two foods, what does that tell you? That he holds like Rav Ashi, that lama tarmach shnei tavshilin v'alo kadei leida shein ofen miyom tov l'chol, dai b'tavshil echad. Right? If the point was to prove that you can't cook from Yom Tov to Chol by making a kal v'chomer to Shabbos, so then prepare one food. Why would you say you need to set aside two foods if you hold that the reason of Erev Tavshilin is to start the cooking process, to make sure that you set aside food for Shabbos and Yom Tov? So then you could plausibly say, look, you have to set up a lot of food. You have to cook a lot of food because you're not only having one food at your Shabbos meal, you're having more than one. And Tosos asks, what does it help if you give it over to other people? You're not remembering it's Shabbos. So he says, well, this is the point. Dahu eno mivashal rak achirim. Lufize also shaber delis luker avashi elikarava gadishiyah for mona yafel omahani makne kimcha. Ubrais dumra makne kimcha lachirim. Karn loke veshamai veshaber chiach agamara shamamina disarch lachnus kimcha. So he says as follows. What was the machlok? It goes like this. If you think the point of Erev Tavshilin is simply a reminder that you're not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Chol, then the Isser is an Isser Gavra, right? Because if I'm forced to give the food to somebody else for them to cook to me, I've created a reminder that I'm not allowed to cook. Because now we say, look, you didn't set an Erev Tavshilin, so in a Chanami, the food's getting cooked. but it's accomplishing its goal, which was to remind you not to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos without an Erev Tavshilin. So I can give it to somebody else because it accomplishes the same thing as Erev Tavshilin. It creates that reminder, right? Because the whole Isser started with, we didn't want you to forget that there was an Isser, so we created a Chiyuv Erev Tavshilin to remind you not to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. Well, that's accomplished. If I'm forced to go and be makan at my food to somebody else in order for them to cook, the reminder is accomplished. There was no inherent Isser to cook. The Isser was that I shouldn't forget that there's an Isser to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. So we assert even cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but the starting point wasn't the Isser. The starting point was the Chiyuv of Tavshilin, because you needed a Heker, you needed a reminder. So, good, you have a new reminder. It's called give your food to somebody else and let them cook. The other possibility was no. What started it was that you're chayev to prepare your food for Shabbos in advance, right? And if Yom Tov comes and you haven't started that process, then the food is usher, because what Erev Tavshilin does is it, if you remember that discussion, it starts the cooking process of Shabbos pre-Yom Tov, because you're not allowed to start the cooking process on Yom Tov. Well, he says, well, that's not going to help if I'm machne the food to other people because I never started the cooking process, right? This, who cares whether I cook it, right?
The there's food a, was never started.
Exactly, together. Right? So it's what Alan said, right? In bringing it back to the beginning of the Gemara, how do we formulate Erev Tavshilin? Is it that we started with the food is usher unless you start the process pre-Yom Tov? In which case, if you don't start the process, it doesn't matter whether I own the food, it doesn't matter whether he owns the food. In the end of the day, I didn't start the process, and it's, right, it can't be in my rishus. I got it, right? He would have to own it. It'd have to be his food, because he's allowed to. He has an Erev Tavshilin. Or you can understand Tosu's position, right? Then maybe it even creates an inherent issue, because this food wasn't, right, you know, it was owned. He only brings up the two possibilities of Rashi. But we could explain Tosa's position as well, right? Tosa's could say, look, if Erev Tavshilin is about making my food, right, the food that in order for food to be cooked on Yom Tov, you need to start cooking it, so to speak, before Yom Tov, for Shabbos, then it might even have an inherent Isser, right? That who cares if I give it to him? He couldn't even cook it for himself because this food wasn't in the Parsha yet, right? So we could explain both our Psak and even the more Machmer Havamina of Tosfos. So that's what he says. Then he uses this to explain the position of Chananya. But the Chut Meshiv Dvarim, which I never heard of before, and it's not on Bar Ilan, so I had to find it on Otsar, but it was copied here, so I didn't copy it in horrible Rashi font from Otsar. What? It just has PDFs of the original book, so this one has not great manuscript. So again, right, he argues, so now if we go back to our three positions, right, you have the position that there's only an Isser Gavra, right, that's Rashi's more Mekil position, which he explains as saying that the only purpose of Erev Tavshilin is to remind you that you're not supposed to be cooking from Yom Tov to Chol. So in order to remind you, we create an Isser from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but all you need is a reminder. So if all you need is a reminder, big deal. So give it to somebody else that also acts as a reminder. The shita we paskin like, that as long as you own the food, it is usser, right, goes better with the position that the purpose of Erev Tavshilin is that. If you didn't start the cooking process before Yom Tov, then the food is not, right, it's mufka, so to speak, right? It hasn't begun cooking, so the food itself is now problematic because you didn't start cooking, right? The food is, you know, a whole food. Now it's not in the parsha of Shabbos Yom Tov food, and therefore it's usser. And we could also explain the even more extreme position of Tosfos, that perhaps not only would it be usher as long as it remains in my possession, but even if it left my possession, the fact that when Yom Tov entered, it in no way was shayach to Shabbos cooking, because it was in the hands of somebody who wouldn't have been allowed to prepare it for Shabbos, then it would have an inheritance. Now, we reject that extreme position, but we accept the middle position that it at least is usher as long as it's in your house, because at some level the usher inheres to the food, because right? We started with the Isser rather than the Chiyuv Erev Tavshilin. We started with the notion that you have to start the cooking process in advance. So that's how he ties it back, which I think is a nice way of understanding the Machlokas of Hunasar V'Kimcho Nasar, the three positions that Rashi and Tosas bring between them.
Based on what he's saying, it would be either or. In other words, if you're one position, then it would be Kimcho Nasar. If you're the other position, it would be Gavra. Yet the conclusion is that it's both.
Which brings us to the Pnei Yeshua in 4.
Just before you go to that, so if the Isser is on the food, exactly what food is affected?
Anything in your possession.
Anything, whether you could have eaten it cold, uncooked, or otherwise?
I mean, you can eat raw food, you just can't... There's an Isser to cook the food in your possession, not to eat the food in your possession. Right? It's an Isser Bishul that adheres to your food. Right? I mean, you could eat raw food in your house, that's not a problem. You just can't...
So it doesn't apply to all...
Right. I mean, it doesn't make your food trafe. It's a weird Isser. It's an Isser to cook your food. It's a... Right? Isser Bishul adheres on your food rather than an Isser... You know, it doesn't make it trafe. Right? Because you can eat raw food.
So long as it's in its raw state, you're allowed to have it.
You're right. You could also eat leftovers from Yom Tov.
It doesn't have to be raw. You just can't heat it up. You can't cook it. You can't...
Right. And you, right. Or you could even cook it for Yom Tov. Right? Vim Hoser, Hoser Shabbos. You could do that also. Right? The only thing that's Usher is cooking it for Shabbos. Right? An Isser to cook for Shabbos remains in it. Now, the Pnei Yeshua makes it a little bit less clean. But in order to see the Pnei Yeshua, we need to continue a little bit here on the Gemara. So this brings us to the next case in the Gemara. So the Gemara says as follows, Ibayilu, Avar va'afa mai. Let's say you did cook it. So now what? Right? You violated. You shouldn't have cooked, but you did. Now is it Usher? So he says, Tashma mishalo v'niyacheru tafshilen. If you didn't say nev tafshilen keitzer duos, now what do you do? Mak mekim chol lachir machir open lo mevashen lo. So you cook it, and other people... you give it to other people and they can cook for you. V'isa, and if it was true that you could cook it and it wouldn't be usher, it was usher for you to cook, but the food remains kosher or edible, whatever. Listen, avar va'afa mutter, just say that if you cooked it, it's mutter. So the Gemara says, nah, I'm a ravada bar masan, that doesn't work. Tana takanta de'etera katani, takanta de'isra lo katani. The Gemara doesn't tell you how you could eat the food be'isser, right? Because no one's going to tell you, well, if you violate the halacha and cook it, so it'll be kosher. Now, that doesn't work, because we don't want you to do that. So that's not a proof. So then the Gemara says, okay, Tashma, let's try again. Mishin yecheruv tafshilin areze ofem vasho matmin. Someone who said yecheruv tafshilin can cook, can bake, can insulate, vimratza lechol ase ruva rishis biyado. And if you want, you can eat your yecheruv tafshilin. Achlo achelo afa. But if you eat it before you baked, achelo hitmin. Or before you insulated, I raise the loyofa v'lo yashav v'lo yatmin. So you can't do that. Lo lo v'lo lachirim v'lo chirim ofen mavashon lo v'mavashol hu l'yom tov v'moser hoser l'shabbos. So you right. The point being that you have to have the erev tavshilin extend when you cook for Shabbos. But once you've cooked, then you can eat it. But if you end up eating it by accident before you cooked, so then you're stuck. So what you need to do is cook extra for yom tov. Right, in the same pot, as we saw from the last off, Marba Bishurim in the same pot. The leftover you can use it for Shabbos, Vach lo Yarim. As you know, as long as you don't violate Harama, right? You aren't deceitful. Vim Harim Usser. We'll see what exactly Harama is. Which is a little bit complicated. But if Harama is Usser, so here the Gemara attempts to prove that you see that if someone deceitfully cooked on Shabbos, on Yom Tov for Shabbos rather, it's Usser. So doesn't that prove that if you violate and you cook without an Erev Tafshilin, so it's going to be Usser? So the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi, no, Harama Kamar, Harama is different. Shiny Harama, Dachmiru Barabanan Tvemi Mezid. Harama, which is deceit, is even worse than straight out Mezid. So if one utilizes harama, so then the food is also. But that doesn't prove that if one cooks b'mezid, even though it was obviously wrong, that it would be usher. Okay, then the Gemara continues. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Hamani Chananya. So that is Chananya. Valiba de Beishamai de Tanya, Chananya Omer Beishamai Omrim, Ella ain't ofen, Elam can irev bepas, Ren Ravashlan, Elam can irev betafshil. So maybe the Chumrah right, that you see that you can't cook, that you can't eat once the food was cooked, is Chananya, who in general is machmer and erev tefshilin, and says that it's not just enough to cook a food erev tefshilin. If you want to bake, you need a bake. If you want to cook, you need a cook. And if you want to do atmana, you want to insulate, you got to insulate before Yom Tov. You only need to eat one food, and that is enough. Okay, so let's just pause there. The Gemara is going to continue this discussion. But at this point, the Gemara says that Chananya holds in order to, the Erev Tashilin to work, every malacha you want to do, you need to do a parallel for it before Yom Tov. You want to cook, you got to have a cooked food. You want to bake, you have to have a baked food. You have to want to do Hatmana, you need to do Hatmana. And that's set up as the Machmir position that we don't agree with. However, we already mentioned this briefly, that if you look, actually, no, we really do need to get to the Gemara. Okay, we'll read to the end of I don't really want to do this, but I have to at least introduce it. Okay, I'll summarize it outside, and then we'll see it inside, but just to get to the Bnei Yeshua. The Gemara, in the end, rejects all this in Paskins like Beis Hillel, that you need one cooked food, and that's it. Okay.
You can do everything.
And then you can do everything. And yet, if you look at Tosfos here, Amar Rava, Hil Chazakatana Didan, Valiba de Beis Hillel. So if you look just at the third line, he says, V'omar Rabbeinu Tam, De La Fiat Tzarech La'arev Gam Bepas, V'enu Yochol Lavos Al Erev Tavshil. Rabbeinu Tam said, no, not that way. Well, this is the third Tosfos on Yudzayin Amud Beis. Amar Rava. Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam says that you have to bake if you want to be able to bake. And then he explains, he gets out of this Gemara. Okay, fine. So we have a problem. And we'll come back to this Tosfos in a minute. But we have a problem, right? Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam seems to go against our Gemara. And Rabbeinu Tam argues that even though we paskin like Beis Hillel, you need one food, he doesn't really think the Gemara means it. He thinks to cook, you need a cooked food. To bake, you need a baked food. But if you remember in Tezayin Amud Aleph, that doesn't seem to work. Because the Gemara at the time had said that if you want an Erev Tavshilin, it has to be a cooked food, and it can't be bread. So as all the Rishonim point out, what do you mean it can't be bread? According to Rabbeinu Tam, you need bread also. Obviously, the second thing can't be bread, because you need bread and a cooked food. So the cooked food can't be bread. What is the Gemara arguing about? That Erev Tavshilin can't be bread. If one of the things you need is bread, and one of them is not bread, obviously the one that's bread is bread, and the one that isn't bread is not bread. The whole machlokas in the Gemara makes no sense if you paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. So, the Pnei Yeshua comments, and he says, you know what, I don't believe that Rabbeinu Tam ever meant what he said. I think it goes like this. He says, V'anir lefiya niyaz daiti. L'chora, de Rabbeinu Tam gufa loka amar dimi'inan pas v'tavshil. It never happened. What does he say? Ela l'chatchila. L'chatchila, he thinks you need bread. And a cooked food, but not bidi'evet. Why? And this is why he comes to Howie's point. He says, why? Because, as Howie points out, it's very nice to explain the Gemara cleanly and say that Hu Nesar ve'ein Kimcho Nesar is focusing on the Zecher element. Hu Nesar ve'Kimcho Nesar is focusing on the, right, preparing food element, the starting the process. But that's not really fair to the evidence, because Hu Nesar, Vikem Chonesar. He's Asur and the food is Asur. Meaning, both elements seem to exist. So he says, yeah, that's the point. And he said, and he uses this to explain Rabbeinu Tam. And he says like this, V'hain l'mifi m'asher kasov la'el. B'l'taima d'shmul v'rava. Dan r'kadesh yiv r'mona yafel l'yom tov l'shabes m'shum ha'cham bin intarti. The whole notion that you need two foods only makes sense if you think that the basis of Erev Tavshilin is that you need to start the cooking process. So sure, if I want to cook, I need to start cooking. I want to bake, I want to start baking. Elishikasavti shum, but I already said that Mahai Taima ain't near a loss or bidi avad. Bidiavid, it's not true, because you still have the second reason. Shalo and yech Erev Tavshilin, val karcha, dashrim bidiavid, haimishum idach taima, kadesha yomru ain't over me yom tov l'shabas kamachomra l'chol. He says, you know what? I think both reasons exist. He said, "Lichadchila, you try to be mekayim both. Ulahaytai mesagi, but bidi'eved, you rely only on the zecher one. Ulahaytai mesagi v'pas or betavshil. Therefore, you only need right one. V'imkain matzino lemeiret to travayu taima isnu, which would tell you that halachically we hold of both. ומשום הכי, כוס הרבינו טעם, דלכתחילה בעינן שרווייהו, משום טעימה כדי שיברור, מה שאין כן בדיעבד, סגי בחד טעימה, משום טעימה כדי שיאמרו אין אופן מיום טוב, ואף אגב דלקת טעימה, שיברור בדיעבד, לא שאין משום היי טעימה. So he says, what's the position of רבינו טעם? בדיעבד, you only need one food. What does one food accomplish? Heker. לכתחילה, you need to start the process. Right, and therefore, if you're going to cook, you should have a cooked food. If you're going to bake, you need a baked food. But what comes out, according to Pnei Yeshua, is that both reasons are true. So if that's true, then we return to our Gemara, and it wasn't either or. The question was, do we only hold of Heker, and therefore, Hu Nesar v'ein Kim Cho Nesar, or do we hold of both? Hu Nesar, because of the Heker. V'kimcho nesar, because we want you to start the process. And what the Pnei Yeshua says is really the Gemara holds of both, right? Sometimes we'll allow you to get away with one or the other, but l'chadchila we require both. And therefore, hu nesar v'kimcho nesar makes sense. Hu nesar mishum heker, v'kimcho nesar because you have to start the process. And what would come with the Pnei Yeshua is exactly what Havi pointed out, that no, we really hold of both. It's not a clean split, right? It's not this or that, it's this or this plus that, right? That's what would come out according to the Pnei Yeshua, plugging it back into our sugya. Okay. So now, let's continue on the Hu Nesar Ve'ein Kim Cho Nesar. So now there's a few more questions that Rishonim ask. The Rajba asks a very technical question. Forgetting all this, you know, fancy lumdus about the point of Erev Tavshilin, is it as a heker, is it for Kiddush Yivor, he asked a very practical question, which is, V'yesh makshim l'gir zazu, di'i ein kim cho nesar, hech efshar shiofu yivashlo achirim, dimkei maho ilu chachamim b'takanasam, ko adam lo ya'are v'yitim achirim shiasu lo. What was the Gemara's havamina? That if you don't make an Erev Tavshilin, all you got to do is, I don't even need to give it to you as a gift. I can just say, you know, Gerard, come over, do me a favor, and cook my food for me. Right, that doesn't even help Heker. That helps nothing. Right, pragmatically, if I could just invite someone else over, right, if I'm not a good cook, right, so I might always have someone cooking for me, so I'll never set up an Erev Tavshilin. Big deal. I'll have my you know, chef make an Erev Tavshilin. I'll never think about it. Right, if the point is you're supposed to remember Shabbos, right, you're supposed to remember Shabbos, you're supposed to prepare for Shabbos. Even if you think conceptually I could justify why it's mutter for other people to come and cook my food, I've removed the incentive for many people to make an Erev Tavshilin. And halacha, like law, right, besides for the issues of what motivated the law, we also want our law to have teeth. So the Rajba just says, what teeth will there be if I can just invite my chef over and have them cook? Right, it's a very pragmatic problem. It's a very pragmatic legal problem. Right, you don't want an issur that has no teeth. And he says, and also, what does it even make sense? Right, if it's usur for me, and so if I invite my chef over, isn't it a problem because of shluchos shaldam kemoso? And the Rajba says, no. What type of question is that? Ve'ein ikra lekushas elu lefi daiti the eruv derabbanan hu. That's very nice if you're talking about a daraisa. But it's a derabbanan, and it's not such a machmer derabbanan, right? You want to start with a practical question? You need it to have teeth? The answer is, not so much, right? The Chachamim said, it's enough that I'm not going to be able to cook, and I'll have to invite someone else over to cook. That's enough for a rabbanan. It's a rabbanan. They're makil, not a, right? You ask a practical question, I'll give you an answer that Chazal didn't care so much because it was derabbanan, so they were makil. V'misid laws or kimcho yesh lo much lachmir v'davar, you're right. So if the answer would have been that other people can come and cook my food, the answer would have been okay, because that's how Chazal decided, that they weren't so machmir. Eshel yasu ba'atzmo. That was the issue, that he can't cook himself. V'achirim ofen, v'machalken lo, demilz lo shchich. And he says, and you'll tell me, but what incentive will that give? He says, how often does that happen, that someone has a chef that they do nothing in their house, and they're just going to, you know, be fine with their chef doing it, and they're not going to care that they won't even be able to, you know, warm up the soup without their chef there. No one, how many people is that relevant for? And Chazal, don't worry about that case. Most people want to be able to prepare for Yom Tov themselves. Shelo yarev kedei shiyofu yivashlo acherim. Elo hakashali. But I have another question. Tim Solomar dehu v'kimcho nesar. Kimak mikimcho acherim. Amai shari akvar nesar kimcho. He says, okay, but now I don't understand the opposite. If you say kimcho nesar, then what does it help if I give it to other people? Right? Remember Tosus' is Shaila. Tosus said, shouldn't, right, the more machmir position according to Tosus was in fact an isser adhered into the food. And the Rajab is asking, well, why isn't that true? Right? And now we jump to the opposite extreme. And his answer again is, right, how could it be mutter for half the day? Meaning, as long as I owned it, it was usser. Now he owns it, so it's mutter. Ander abba, havel eshe kimcho, ki be'alav. Right, Tosos' shita, his havamina, should have been the maskana, that it's the food becomes usser to cook. And again, his answer is, yish lomar, dilagabai hanami akil bear of tafshil and cave and chain of elakira balma. Ola kavod Shabbos, ola kavod Yom Tov, came in Shechmiru, love kol kach, shasru huve kim chobodo shalo, shapir dam, he says, in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Because whether this is about a heker, it's kavod Shabbos, kavod Yom Tov. In the end of the day, the whole thing's derabanan, meaning it's very nice to have these conceptual svaras, but in the end of the day, it's derabanan. So we could have entertained the possibility that really all we said is you can't cook if you don't send an Erev Shilin, and we're not going to go overboard and create inherent isser in your food. In the end of the day, this whole isser is derabanan. Right? We can't lose sight of that. It's to make a heker of sorts. So don't go overboard, even if you can, you know, explain lundishly why you should come up with that position. It's very nice, but there's always that caveat in derabanans that it could be heim amru veheim amru, that they didn't want it to be so machmir, so don't explain why it should be so machmir. And that, so that's how the Rashba explains the havamina, that we would be so makil and allow other people to cook for you, right, without even being machmir to them. And why, in the end of the day, we reject Tosos' extreme position, the food creates inherent iser. The answer is, we could have been really makil. We weren't quite that makil, but we're not going to be that machmir because the end of the day, Rabbanan creates a heker, so that's it. And that's what the Rajba says. And we have, right, it's just a corrective on the, all this, right? That the lumdus is nice, but at the end of the day, Rabbanan, so it's not necessarily going to work out perfectly smoothly. Sometimes we'll just find kulos for the sake of kulos. The Magine Shlomo in 6 pushes it slightly, and he says, "Lo ivanti, my kush is she'en kavanas atalmud shumakne kimcho kidei lasis lo elu makneu legamre lachirim." I don't even understand what the Rajba wants, right? The Rajba thinks that it's a problem that what would it help? I'm going to give it over to other people and they can cook for me. Why don't I oster it and make it that even if I give it to somebody else, there's an isser in it? He said, what are you talking about? The Gemara didn't say I'm going to give it to Gerard and now Gerard is chayiv to cook for me. It's ew. The way we paskin that makneu lachirim and then they can cook for you. What does makneu lachirim mean? Yeah, I have to give it. If he wants to, he can cook for me. So the Magen Yishlom said, I don't understand the Rajab's second question, that why didn't you go the whole way and say that the food becomes usser? He said, because we've gone pretty far. Saying hu nesar v'kimcho nesar is saying that I have to give it to somebody else and run the risk that they're not going to give it back to me because it's a matana gemura. This isn't a fake, right? It's a matana gemura. V'achirim nosen lo b'matana v'chi asar l'achirim litin v'shalahem. In the end of the day, it's going to be no different than him giving me from his food. And what, they can't give me a gift? Inami hu maknalem stame in ofen lo mishalahem, or I just give it as a gift and they cook me something else. Vinachanami machirim rotzim lahachzik akemech latvam, if they want to keep it, ain lo aleim klum, I can't say no. El talmud kamar dein lo takan acheretz, when the Gemara said give it to somebody else, it wasn't saying and they'll be chayiv to cook for you, it's just saying that's your best hope, is that the guy will be nice, right? I'll give him, right, I have, you know, 10 expensive steaks sitting in my freezer, and I give him a gift, and I hope he gives me back one so that I can have my Yom Tov meal. But he doesn't have to. If he decides, you know what, I'm having, you know, chashuva guests, I didn't really have that good. I had chicken, right? But now I have these 10 fancy whatever ribs. I'm going to cook it for my guest, and too bad. Or, you know what, we'll trade. Give me the ribs, I'll give you my chicken. It's fine, right? He can do that. So we went pretty machmir. So it might be true that it's Dirabanan, and we didn't have to be that machmir, but don't think we weren't machmir. We were pretty machmir. And he says, the other question I also don't understand. My kasha, and he says, I don't understand. Right? Why would you think, he said, why did you have a problem with the super makil position? As we already said, the super makil position also makes sense, as we noted, because if Erev Tavshilin is only about a heker, I can easily justify why it's mutter as soon as I give it to somebody else, because if it's just about a heker, It may be that we reject that lamaskana, but it's not like unfathomable that Chazal could have formulated the Isser such that it's usher for me to cook, but mutter for anyone else to cook for me, right? El mishum zachrayu, and he just fleshes out. He says, "Im mishum tamid rav Ashi, im kein dailas or shlo yazur levadam alacha." Ki bilti safegin is harbe irif tafshilin shlo yitzbal shulchan achirim. Because if the point is we want to remind you to cook, most people don't want to be reliant on other people. And be in a situation where if the other guy wants me to eat, I'll eat. And if not, then I'll... tough luck. So Magine Shlomo, right, pushes back on this and says, look, you don't have to say that it's a random kula because heim amru veheim amru. The reason we could have thought there's only an Isser on you is because the heker is accomplished. The reason we don't need to go to the super extreme and make the food inherently usser is because I'm forcing you to give it as a full gift that they don't have to give back to you. We were pretty machmer as it is. So you could justify heim amru veheim amru, but he says, at the end of the day, all the positions make a lot of sense, right? I understand why you would go to the extremes, but the position we take in the middle is still pretty machmir, but not super machmir. And in the end of the day, it makes sense and accomplishes all of our goals. So our maskana makes a lot of sense, but the havamina has also made sense without any problem. Okay. A technical point here by the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer just notes that there is a case that at first glance seems parallel to this, and we paskin differently. The Gemara in Shabbos Kufnun says that if you accepted Shabbos early, someone else can theoretically do something for you during the time pre-Shabbos, right? I mean, when it's still not actually Shabbos, but you've accepted Shabbos. So why is that, right? Isn't that parallel to someone else making an Erev Tavshilin and you not, and yet we paskin that by Erev Tavshilin you can't have somebody else cook it until you've given it over to them. And by the Shabbos case, we let you do it. So he says it's very simple. Because the Rashba thinks that when you accept early Shabbos, you can undo it by being Mater Neder. Interesting position, which we may not possibly like, but the Rashba himself holds that way. So the Chassam Sofer says, look, the reason we'd be more makil there is because since for you it's not inherently usher, because if I wanted to, I could. It's true that currently it's usher because I accepted Shabbos, but I could get out of it. So therefore we're more makil because, right, it's not really, really usher for me yet. In the Erev Tavshilin case, it is now Yom Tov and I didn't make enough Tavshilin. It really, really is usher for you. And that's why in the end we're more machmir. Okay, that's just a technical point. The Gedulei Shmuel also adds, he adds something really strange. He thinks that if, in fact, the reason Lamaskana is, the reason that it's usher for other people to cook as long as the food belongs to me is because some sort of shluchu shaldim kamoso, that if someone else is cooking my food while it belongs to me, they're acting on my behalf. So he says that's only true if the person who cooks for you is a bar shlichus, right? But he is machadish, therefore, the very unlikely svara, which is, mistaber de katan va'akum yecholun levash lechatchila, l'mid de'ein lo erev tafshilin. I have a good plan. Have your kid, who isn't a bar shlichos, or a guy, who isn't a bar shlichos, cook for you. Because if the reason that hu nesar v'kimcho nesar is because as long as you own it, and someone else is cooking for you, it's shlichos, so remove the potential for shlichos, and it all will be good. Now that's probably wrong, because in general we paskin that for a guy there is shlichos dvar aveira l'chumra, right? Which is the way Rashi understands the problem of Amir l'Nachri on Shabbos, right? That it's shlichos dvar aveira l'chumra. So this doesn't seem to be correct, but that's how far he takes.
Even a Rabbanan like this?
Maybe not an Derabbanan, maybe, and that's why you would say trade Derabbanan. Maybe that's what it is. But anyways, that's his Chiddush, that maybe you could have a goy or a katan do it for you because there's no shlichos problem. As far as Aran, the boy haknas kimcho laacher lo haknas shlichos kamosav imkain elu deinam bnei shlichos bnei shlichos kamosav yichon levashel b'shvilo avol tzavos lam levashel b'shvilo aser. But he says you can't actually command them to do it because that might be You know, in general, even though a katan doesn't have a shlichos, there is lahazer gedol malaktanim. There are other isurim that are involved. So he said, you know, you could whatever, I don't know, remez or something, or right, have your chef realize what's going on, that you have no food, or your kid realize there's not going to be food Friday night, and let them cook. But you can't explicitly tell them. But if they would go and do it, then it would be mutter, because you can't, as long as you don't command them, there's no way of calling them a shliach, because they're not barei shlichos. Okay. Until now, we've assumed, though, that there's no possibility in the sugya that it would be usur for the person having the Erev Tavshilin, who didn't make the Erev Tavshilin, to eat other people's food. Right? The only question was on his food. But no one thinks that I can't invite someone over who didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. But as we already know, that's not necessarily true. The Balamor, in fact, thought that a posheya can't, right, if you remember the case earlier, that there was Avuah de Shmuel, right, he had the blind person who twice in a row didn't make it, and he said, you know what, don't rely on me, right. So most people said, rely on my Erev Tavshilin. The Baal HaMor says, no, since he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, the second time around, he said, you're not even allowed to eat at my house, right, go away, right, you're a posheya star for all I care. So, if you look at 9, he quotes, the Ritva Zal says, the kule amalasar hacherim yachol mecherim latakan la'atman afili de'ir of shalem v'gam humutar b'mashiyit nu lo mishalem. The Ritva says that no one thought that it was also for someone else to cook and give me food. V'heim mutarim la'zezit v'lein shalem afilu meizit v'poshayad kan. V'ein arav zarav yachir alevi sovar kein kemosha kasavti l'mahalo. But that's not the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor, in fact, thinks the even more extreme position, that if you are a poshay, an heir of Tavshilin, even other people shouldn't be giving you food, even their own food. Now, we noted with the Baal HaMor, that doesn't mean they aren't allowed to. It might be that that's a possible punishment that could come out of it. Not always, and that's what the Shita Megubadza notes in 10, that it might not be always. Right? Maybe it's not that it's actually usur, but that Beis Din should come up with a way of punishing you, which might mean starving you, right? Or it might mean not, right? But we should just remember there is that, at this point, fifth possibility, right? So now we have five possibilities in the Gemara, right? We have Rashi's Mekil position, which is not La Halacha, that there's only Nisr Gavra, but other people could cook even your food. Then you have the position that an Isser inheres in the food, but obviously other people could give you food. That's the other extreme of Tosfos. You have the way we Paskin, which is, you aren't allowed to cook your food as long as it's in your possession. No one can cook the food as long as it's in your possession, but you're allowed to give it to someone else, and then they could give you the food. And then you have the Baal HaMor's position that no, it might be that no one's allowed to give you food, period, because you're a posheya, even from their own food. Then we have the position of the itter, right, the weird position that the only isser of Erev Tavshilin is that one who didn't make an Erev Tavshilin can't get food, right? But he can cook. Right, as long as it's for somebody else, which is the fifth position in the sugya. Okay, we're running out of time. So just a technical point, and this is what we mentioned before. What about the fact that you're making a kinyan on Yom Tov to give the food? So Meiri in 7 just summarizing, he says, "Ein lachosh laknaka zubi Yom Tov." Don't worry about it. Shari matana miad liyadu shaloka derech kinyan. We're talking about you giving somebody food. It doesn't look like a kinyan, so it doesn't fall in the Yisra kinyan on Shabbos and Yom Tovim. Lo matza misha yikne lo kimcho, yeil chaleita lacherim v'yochal o yisane. And he says, you can't find somebody, so either go to someone else's house or fast.
Okay.
Okay.
On Shabbos, you're not supposed to fast. Okay. So now you're basically saying you have a derabbanan.
Correct.
Punishment of a derabbanan.
And sometimes that happens. Correct. Now, the Baal HaMor, Meiri here, however, is an outlier, because the simplest understanding is what the Gemara says in Chavalef, which we'll come to when we get to Chavalef, which is that there is a out. That even if you don't make an Erev Tavshilin, the Gemara says you're allowed to cook without an Erev Tavshilin kedei chayav. Right? One loaf of bread, one pot of food, right? You just can't make a feast, but enough that you're not fasting is fine. And the Meiri paskins against that at this point and thinks just starve. Most people don't. And that's what he says in the next one. He says, "Mikol makom gedoli hadorish levanenu." The other post can possibly like the Gemara in Chafalif. Shalonem raknas kimcho el hadafa. Haknas kimcho is only for more food, Aval dechayav ofen lo af below kinyan. Right, so Meiri thinks there's a machlokas asugyas, because our Gemara makes it sound like you won't eat anything, and that's how he reads it, and he thinks that the Gemara in Chaf Aleph, which says you're allowed to cook one dish, is a different sheet than the Gemara altogether. But this Gemara actually rejects that and says there's no head there. The Gedolei Adara say no, both are true. The whole discussion in this Gemara wasn't about whether you could cook at all. There was this heter hanging in the background that at least enough that you're not starving will allow you to do. We won't allow you to enjoy yourself, but we're not going to make you fast, because you're right. To do that would be to totally miss the point, because now you're being Mavadil Shabbos and you're fasting on Shabbos, and that's a problem. So it's only for Ha'adafa. And the Meiri just thinks the machlok is a sugya, and paskins luchumra like our sugya. But he knows the Gedolei Adoros don't paskin that way, right? Af below kinyan, masha amru lamata, mishalone echer tafshilin, ofen lo pas achas, vitomen lo keder achas, uman legan lo esaner. Right? So we'll come to it more in Chaf Aleph, but the Meiri thinks it's actually machlok is a sugya, the machskana of Ari Gemara is if you don't say an echer tafshilin, to starve. Most poskim think that's not the case. We paskin like Chaf Aleph, that the only question here is, will you be able to have more food than the absolute minimum? But no one's going to think that there isn't an out. Now, conceptually, it doesn't work. But the point is not meant to work conceptually, right? This is a dirabanan to begin with, so they create a kula that you don't end up fasting. That's how the simplest read of the Gemara. Right, you could cook for Yom Tov and be Mhoser or Shal Shabbos. And we're going to come back to what Harama even means, because if you're allowed to cook, right, Mhoser or Shal Shabbos, then what does Harama even mean, right? Harama in another pot? Right, but and we'll see, because Shulchan Aruch, if you remember, Paskin, that you, Mishnah Berurah Paskin, that you could cook another one and just taste a little bit. So what could possibly be more harama than that, right? So we'll see that the Taz will say, you cook two of the exact same dish in two different pots, because that, there's no justification. But we'll come back to that next week. Yeah, two tirchos or something like that. Okay, so that's Hunasar. Kemchon Asar. We'll finish the sugya, I think, hopefully, till the Mishnah. Next week, the Makor is here. Take us to the Mishnah minus Harama, and then we'll do Harama, I guess, after Purim, I guess.
I mean, the hard concept here is a Kemchon Asar.